You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
What's going on, trade pros, and welcome back to the Mind Over Markets podcast with myself, Mark Borscht, and my special guest,
Victorio Stefanov. We're back at it.
Welcome back, Vicky. In today's episode, guys, we are going to be discussing the characteristics of gambling traders versus the characteristics of professional traders, with the goal or the idea of helping you guys identify if you're trading or if you're gambling. Now, just a little forewarning for today's episode. This tends to be a bit of a controversial topic because trading and gambling, this is something that many traders deny, right? And it's important for you to listen with an open mind, especially if some of the points that we cover today hit a nerve, right? They might hit a nerve based on your personal experiences and make you feel offended. But fear not, this episode is not about you in specific. It is for you. So the discussions that we're going to have today are meant to help you raise your awareness to the patterns that might be holding you back from achieving the success that you deserve. Now, before we get started, let's hear a quick message from the sponsor of the podcast, TradePro Academy.
Of course. So, hey guys, if you are looking for a community of well-rounded traders, a lot of traders that maybe trade different assets but support one another in risk management, trade ideas, psychology, and help you grow as a trader, come on by and visit TradePro Academy. We have an extensive psychology course available for our elite members that really helps you break through those psychological barriers of knowing your worth and opportunity in trading. So if you guys want to learn how to trade and not gamble, come join our community and we'll help you out.
Exactly. And one more thing just to add to that sponsor message is that the psychology course is based on neurolinguistic programming. And so it's a trader development program based on neurolinguistic programming to help you guys develop the mindset of a high performance athlete. So a lot of what you learn in this podcast, you're getting brief glimpses here and there from overall what we've got in the psychology course. So if you guys are enjoying what you hear in this podcast, make sure to check out the elite membership here at TradePro Academy. Again, that's www.tradeproacademy.com. So thank you so much for that great message, Victorio. Let's get started with this episode. So many people believe that trading the stock market is a form of gambling. You know, they think that the markets of the world are not much different than the electronic casinos or even the physical casinos that you can go to and gamble. So think about this and ask yourself what your opinion on this topic is. Is trading gambling? Have you ever thought trading is gambling? Now, if so, where did this belief come from? And, you know, this is something that we hear all the time. I'll ask Vic on his experiences with it, but I know I've heard it time and time again. Anytime somebody asks me, you know, what do you do? What do you do for a living? I tell them that I trade the markets. And, you know, first thing that typically comes out of their mind is, oh, so you're gambling. Or, oh, you got a better chance of winning money at the casino. Or, oh, you know, day trading is gambling. Stock market is nothing but a gamble. Trading is as good as going to the casino and betting all on red, right? And I've had this experience. I remember specifically when I originally quit my full-time job to start trading full-time. And one of my buddies, he said to me, oh man, you know, that's risky. Just make sure you're not using all your money because it's super risky. I don't want you to lose it all. And, you know, while it was coming from a good place, a lot of people base their opinions of the stock market on the experiences that they've been passed along. You know, for me, for myself personally, I also remember my dad being somebody that had, you know, invested a good chunk of his money based on, you know, some tips that he thought he would receive from a company that he was working with. And, you know, that company ended up going bankrupt here in Canada. It was called Nortel Networks. Right. And so when I told him this is something I wanted to get into, I was also met with that same kind of, you know, the stereotype that trading or making money in the stock markets is a form of gambling. I'm curious, Vic, if you've had any of that kind of experience throughout your journey, you know, maybe speaking with friends about what you're doing or family about what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, every day. Like, even my friends in finance, like, they're very susceptible to that, if you will. They're a lot like long-term investors, I think, like day trading. You don't know what's going to happen intraday. And the reality of it is, even if you break down gambling, like whether it's poker, sports gambling, maybe not so much a lot of the games in the casino, but it's probability based, right? There is a lot that goes into it. A lot of people think it's pure luck, and there are sports gamblers out there that have the statements to back that's false, right? It's a huge probability, and I'm not comparing trading to gambling, of course. There's a bit of confidence factor there that may make some traders better than others. But trading is based on probabilities of collecting the information in front of you and making the right decision, right? Exactly. So just like anything, it comes down to making the right decision. The information that you have in front of you, especially what we use, order flow, gives you probabilities right in front of you, right? If certain things happen, it's nearly like an 80-85% probability that you are going to end up with a good trade, right? And then it just comes down to, are you willing to risk the gamble, right? Are you willing to risk that opportunity, the risk, whatever? Are you willing to accept it? So there's a lot that goes into it. And I think that, like, in my personal experience, a lot of people have kind of come to terms with the idea that day trading is actually not gambling, because they've talked to me continuously, and like I've showed them, like, hey, like, look at this. A lot of my friends have actually come to the office, and I've showed them, hey, these are what the charts do. This is like right here, this is like what a high probability move looks like. This is what an algo move looks like. You stay away from this, you go into this. And it's picking your poison at the end of the day. Do you want to jump in, or are you seeing something that you don't like, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's a great point Vic brings up. And, you know, we're going to get further into that shortly. But I want to, you know, mention this. It's not like it's just our experience that, you know, people have come to us because we're, I guess, forward facing in the industry and have told us directly that, you know, trading is gambling. You don't have to look far on the internet or on YouTube to see what people's opinion is. And, you know, further to that point, we went on the internet and we went onto Reddit. And, you know, I just typed in Reddit in the day trading, I guess, subcategories or whatever they're called. And I just typed in, is trading gambling? And one of the first threads that popped up to me is the one that I'm going to read back to you guys here. The title was, do people on here genuinely believe day trading isn't gambling? And, you know, it's from a public forum, so hopefully the anonymous poster is okay with this. But the post continues, I've been binging live day trading videos on YouTube lately, and all this talk of quote strategy and quote knowledge is such obvious BS. I'm not going to give you guys the full word. Sure, you can predict general large upwards, downward trends based on news and other factors, but predicting the minuscule changes that occur in minutes or even seconds, question mark, that is gambling. I guess you could say it's a game with no house edge. So better than casino games, but it's straight up gambling. A stock could rise 200% over a week, and day traders could still easily lose money on that. So that was the post. That was the original poster's comment. Let's dissect this a little bit, all right? And we're going to give you guys some of our thoughts on it. The first thing I can see here, you know, obviously this person seems like they must have been hurt in the markets, all right? The second thing I can see, the second thing that really clearly pops up to me is the word predict, all right? And the word predict is super important for me in this sentence, is because this person believes that you have to be able to predict what the market's going to be doing in order to make money. And right there, that's telling me this person hasn't really spent any time to educate. I mean, they've obviously said they've been binging live day trading videos on YouTube, but they haven't really had the experience or put in enough time, screen time rather, to understand, like Vicky alluded to earlier, this is a game of probabilities. It's a game of odds, right? And so I think this was interesting. I don't know about you, Vic. What do you have? What are your opinions on this?
That's like exactly kind of what you pinpointed, that that predict factor, right? So predicting. A lot of recently, like a lot of clients and members and coaching clients, other members, just general members, have been asking me, So how do you predict this move, right? Like how can I actually catch these moves? How can I predict this like 30-point swing, this 10-point swing,
catch
whatever?
Yeah,
how do I catch this like, yeah. How do I catch this extended move, right? How do I predict this? Well, my answer is like, I don't know what's going to happen. The best I could do is anticipate. So what I typically tell people and what I typically do in the market is I anticipate 3 to 4 different trades that could potentially come out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that means that I don't have to be right on one single one. Whatever comes to fruition, that's the trade I'm going to take, right? Four of them have different criteria. 4 of them look different. And that's the anticipation, right? So there's a 25% chance I'm going to have a high probability trade, right? But that's, when you say 25% chance, that sounds terrible, right? But there's a 100% chance one of those trades is going to come to fruition, right?
Exactly.
There's no other, it can just stop and not move. And in that case, I don't have a single trade, right? But out of those 4 trades, one of them will happen, right? So 25% chance this amazing trade happens theoretically, right? Like, I don't know how big it'll be. I don't know how long it'll go, but we figure that out once we're in the trade and we start managing it, right?
Works so 100% of the time, 25% of the time.
Exactly. 25% of the time, 90% of the time it works. But coming back to that, the prediction aspect, like you can't predict it. Like, I can't predict that. I don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
Right now I can tell you it's going up because I see it going up. But other than that, like, I don't know. No one knows. If someone tells you otherwise, they're probably lying.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the only, the closest thing that I've come to prediction in the past few days is the stock market rallying into the close, right? I don't know where it's going to start from.
I mean,
I don't know where it's going to get to, but it's very simple to say that, right?
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, kind of further to what, we'll just say this person, because I don't know if it was a gentleman or a gentlewoman, but the last line there was also kind of interesting. A stock could rise 200% over a week and day traders could still easily lose money on that. And, you know, kind of to what Vic just mentioned, we've been seeing the last 2 weeks. So we're recording this towards the tail end of August 2020. The last week or so has been the scenario where the market usually opens weak and then there's a nice ramp up into the close. So, all right, we can anticipate that at best, but to predict that it's going to happen and to do it with any kind of conviction, you know, that's impossible. We don't know that. At best, we have, like I said earlier, probabilities. And really the one last thing that I want to take out of this thread here is the part where the individual mentions that is gambling. I guess you could say it's a game with no house edge. All right, and that's what we're going to focus on. And we're going to move on to this next little bit here where, you know, for a lot of people that trade the markets, gambling is exactly what they're doing. But it's not correct to say that trading is gambling. And we've touched on a couple of these points. And really, before we can differentiate between the characteristics of a gambling trader, comparing that to the characteristics of a professional trader, I think it's important that we first dispel this myth that trading or even day trading is gambling. All right. And so I'm going to start this off by giving you guys a quick definition that I found of gambling. All right. Gambling is simply wagering money on an unexpected outcome with the intent of winning money. All right. So if you think about this literally, if you take this definition literally, for verbatim, then you might consider trading to be gambling, but you really have to consider this. Everything in life is a gamble, all right? If we define it by taking a calculated risk. And so everything we do, you know, we do these things hundreds of times a day without even realizing it. Think about this, guys. Getting out of your bed in the morning and going to the office. I guess before COVID, you know, the commute to the office might have been a bit longer. But consider this, you know, getting out of bed in the morning and going to the office. There's a chance you could get hit by a bus on the way to the office. That's a gamble, isn't it? But is that something that's at the forefront of your mind? Nah, probably not. You know, the same thing with going out to dinner with maybe a loved one or a spouse. You go out to dinner, you order chicken. The chicken might be undercooked. You might get salmonella and then you get sick, right? That's a gamble too, isn't it? But it's not something that's forefront of your mind, right? So trading and gambling often go hand in hand, but they're different, but at the same time, they share a bunch of similarities. All right. So in our opinion, at least in my opinion, you know, I kind of made that pretty clear. I don't believe trading is gambling. How about you, Vic? I think we're both of.
Yeah. Like there's, you can make it gambling.
Exactly. Right? Like, that's exactly what we're going to get into.
But in before we get into that, I personally see it as a calculated risk, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying that every single trade I take is going to be amazing and it's going to be good, but there is a chance that it's crap. But if we're talking about like calculated risk, right? The idea is to have this high probability trade, and it's all calculated, right? You have the steps, you know, the steps that create an 85, 90, 75, whatever's above like 70% chance of a high probability trade, right? And that's a trade that I'm willing to take. Even if it's like 10, 15, 30% unknown and anything could happen at that point, it's worth it.
Yeah, 100%. And one thing I can actually just kind of remembered from my own experiences, and this was far before I started trading. This was probably around high school. I remember being out at the, I think it was at Blue Mountain. So Blue Mountain's one of the resorts we have here in Ontario. You know, it's laughable if you're really outside of Ontario. But it's the biggest we've got here. And I remember being in the ski park where they've got all the rails and the jumps and stuff, because that's what I used to do when I was young and reckless. And I remember being there at one point, and I just did a grind on a rail. It's basically where you slide down a rail on your board. And, you know, I ate it. All right. I ate it, and then I got up, and then I realized something, and it was this. You know, somebody came up and they're like, oh, are you all right? You know, what you're doing is pretty risky. And I don't know where this kind of analogy came from for me, but I remember sitting there and thinking, what I'm doing is very similar to, or what I thought at the time, is very similar to what traders do, right? I understand the risk of what I'm doing, but it's calculated risk, right? You don't just go from doing, you know, learning how to do any freestyle moves to doing the biggest obstacles in the park, right? That's a gamble. But what I realized at the time was that all we're doing is putting probabilities into our favor, right? So if I had my weight a little bit too much on the left side of the board than on the right, you know, that's something I know I've got to fix. So that to me is not a gamble, because I know more or less if I put more weight on the right side, I have a better chance of getting through and completing that obstacle, right? So to me, I always referred what we do as snowboarders, as freestyle snowboarders, kind of what we're doing as traders, right? And that was before I got into the actual business. And now that I'm in the business, I could see how my young self, how that kind of made sense now, because at the end of the day, it's doing the same thing, you know, lining up a trade and doing a rail or doing a jump, a big booter. It's essentially the same thing. You've got your process. It's not a gamble, because you've got the experience, you've put in the work. And, you know, you're taking the risk. The risk in snowboarding, you get hurt. The risk in money, you lose money. All right. So that was a complete little off the cuff. Getting back to what we were trying to say here is that trading is not gambling. Why? Because you have a sense of control. So very similar to how I felt on that mountain. I had the sense of control because I could choose how fast I go, where I put my weight, etc. In trading, the sense of control has really nothing to do with the actual outcome of the trade. But this is why people consider it gambling, right? Because if the outcome doesn't make you money, or even if it loses you money, they consider it gambling. But it's not gambling, because trading has everything to do with two things: trade management and risk management. And if I can relate this back to anything, I can relate it back to a casino, all right? A casino has an edge. The house always has the edge. You do not have the edge when you go to the casino. And the house knows this. That's how they keep an operation. So let's use roulette as an example, right? Traditionally in the States, the house has a 5.23% edge in American roulette, right? So what that means is that statistically, over a large enough data set, over enough games, the house is going to win money, right? It's a profitable business. So anyone with any experience in the casinos will tell you to avoid American roulette, because you have a negative expectancy. And, you know, casinos are built on the money that people lost by not understanding this simple concept of expectancy. All right. And so that's kind of what I wanted to get across, is that because as traders, we can control the trade management, we can control the risk management, we can effectively replicate the edge that the house holds in a casino by controlling our risk and by controlling the way we manage our trades. You know, that being said, a majority of people that come into this industry, they treat the markets like a casino because they have unfit expectations, right? And it's the unfit expectations that, you know, you typically see on YouTube, that you can make money overnight, you know, get rich overnight. You can quit your job, fire your boss, and, you know, and get that Lambo, because we all want that Lambo, right? But that's what happens. That's why people bring that gambling mentality into trading. And that's why they consider it gambling, right? Because that's what they're doing. So I think this is important, because this is why a majority of traders fail. This is why over 90% are consistently losing money, because they have unfit expectations, number one. And number two, they don't have any structure. Like Vic alluded to earlier, successful trading really is all about consistency, especially as it relates to your trade and money management. If you focus on correct trade management, correct risk management, that is what's going to give you your positive expectancy. And so, you know, kind of curious, Vic, if somebody asked you, you know, Vic, if I asked you, Vic, you wanna go splits on a casino? What would you think about that?
Are we buying one? What are we doing with it?
We'd be basically opening our own casino.
Oh, I'm so doing that.
He's so doing it, right? And why
house
is that?
House always wins.
Why would you? Yeah, there you go. House always wins, right? And so it's not gambling in the sense that if you have positive expectancy, right? If you're managing risk and you're managing your trades so that you can get that positive expectancy, why not become the house? Why are you gambling, right? So now that we spent a little bit of time, you know, kind of making our opinions felt about whether trading is gambling or not, and if you guys are just tuning in, we don't believe it's trading for those exact reasons. Let's now have a moment to discuss the main characteristics of a gambling trader. All right. Now, like we alluded to earlier, many people that call themselves trader are actually operating in a gambling mindset. And if you guys are familiar with us, you know we love lists. So here we're going to introduce you guys to six main characteristics of gambling traders. And then we're going to show you guys the opposite, the characteristics of professional traders and how their approaches differ in the market. All right. So Vic, I'm going to let you go ahead and start off with the first one. What's the first characteristic of a gambling trader?
So the gambler wants to be in the market at all times. A lot of traders do join us at Trade Pro Academy, and they think we're in the markets at all times. They think we have like 100,000 trades a day. They think that is what makes you a good trader. You catch every move. You catch every like tiny move. It acts as like an addiction, right? They think that this is the be all and end all. Be in the markets at all times. Addiction. That's characteristic number one, right? They won't have the desire to leave their screens, right? They want to be part of every single price action move, price fluctuation, every single incremental move. And just because they see something moving, they just jump in, right? So whether it's at the end of a trend, they're like, oh crap, I just missed like 10 points. Oh my God, let me get in on this, right? They suffer from FOMO and shiny ball syndrome, right? So any little object that moves, anything that looks attractive, missing trends, missing moves, it's like, oh, I could have been a part of that. I needed to be a part of that. Yeah. And they just want to be in any trade, all trades at all times, right? Thinking that one of them will strike gold, right? Anticipating that one of these moves will strike gold, which turns into a very emotional breakdown and a breakdown in discipline, where at a certain point, even if you did have a strategy, you just start shooting at anything, right? Anything that moves, you're like, let's go. So gamblers don't walk away, right? They stick around until they've either recovered their losses or they've ended up with nothing, right? Blown an account. This is like the peak mentality of someone who just like thinks that they're going to strike it big today, right? Without any understanding of really what's going on, right? So They're also unable to identify when they should be in the markets or not be in the markets. Mm-hmm. I remember taking this away from actually PAX. I listened to an interview from PAX Trader, and what he said was, what makes a great trader is knowing when to get when to be in and when to step on it and when to get out and when to just leave it alone.
Yeah, when right? to be on that's the sidelines.
That's a key distinction of a good trader, a real trader, right? Not a gambler.
Yeah, exactly. So just kind of to add to what Vic had there, I think we tend to see this quite a bit as far as, you know, wanting to be in the markets at all times. And I also think it comes down to, you know, expectations, right? Because expectations, if you're new, you're seeing things moving to you, it doesn't necessarily need to have a rhyme or rhythm. For if you're new and you're seeing the markets going up and down, all you're seeing is potential opportunity, right? Potential money that you could have had. You could have done this, you could have done that. And by sticking around in the markets at all times, you know, it becomes more of an addiction and less of a business, right? If you want to be in the markets at all times, that's all fine and great, but are you really going to be performing? Can you maintain your mental capital? Can you maintain your focus throughout the whole session? Especially, you know, maybe if you don't start off on a good streak, if you start off with the loser, right? And so this is one of the main characteristics of gamblers. This is why it's number one. It's because they treat it like an addiction. They've got to be there at all times. And, you know, it can become very dangerous because oftentimes what we tend to see is that if you want to be in front of the screens at all time, that comes to the detriment of, you know, the other areas of your life, right? If you're sticking around in front of the screen because you have to make money, you have to do this, you have to do that, what happens to, you know, your family time, time with friends, you know, working on yourself, maybe your own mental health, et cetera, your physical health, right? So characteristic number one, they want to be in front of the market at all times. It's like an addition. The second big characteristic, and again, if you guys have been listening to us through any of these episodes, you'll know that we're big proponents of strategy. All right. So the gambling trader does not have a strategy. They have no idea where to get in and out of markets, right? Because that's what a strategy is. We'll get into the other aspects, but a strategy in itself, if you strip it down to its basics, a strategy helps you identify the setup that you're looking to execute, right? So all it really is what am I looking for? Where do I get in? Where do I get out? And where do I keep my risk? All right. A gambling trader doesn't have that. A gambling trader trades off of emotion, and it's often based on gut feelings and what they think might happen or what they feel should happen. And they have really no idea how much they're risking or where they're going to be getting in and out of the markets, right? A lot of the gambling trader's trading decisions are made in real time when emotions are at their highest because capital's at risk versus following an objective strategy. Already knowing where you're getting in and out before you even put the trade on. Now, what would that do to your trading, right? So a lot of what gambling traders do is because they don't have a strategy, like we alluded to earlier, they want to be in the markets at all times. They want to be part of every single move. So gambling traders are often the ones you see firing from the hip based on what looks good, instead of being the patient ones waiting for the market to come to them. How many times have you heard professional traders say, wait, I'm waiting for the market to come back to me? How many times have you heard a losing trader say that? Probably never, because there's no strategy. They don't know what they're waiting for, so everything looks good. Any that's opinion like, on that, Vic?
Yeah, of course. Like, I'm not saying like every new trader is a losing trader, but it's very reminiscent of a new trader, right?
The
like
statistics say.
But like even it's just reminiscent of people who are new to the industry, right? Uh-huh. They think they have this mentality where they haven't been educated on the matter yet, and they don't know it's all about probabilities. It's just more emotional and, hey, this looks good, this looks good. Until you sit someone down and tell them, this is a game of anticipation, not prediction, probability, not throwing darts at a dartboard, right? Until you tell them that and explain to them that, hey, you have to have a trade idea before it even happens, then they're just going to be looking at anything that moves, anything, anywhere, like, oh, this looks good, that looks good, this
right,
looks
that's
good,
boring.
That looks good.
Yeah, I don't exactly. want to wait. I want to be in now.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like you take, it's not that, like, for the most part, there's a lot of sitting, right? It's long periods of boredom with short bursts of just sheer terror, right? Like, it's like flying, right? That's how they describe flying. So a lot of boredom. And then when it's time to act, you have split seconds, split decisions to act, right? And people, just gamblers, I guess, do not have that strategy. And it's just any move looks good. I know a lot of people in the room are like, oh my God, how do you know it's going to break? How do you know it's going to swing? How do you know this? How do you know that? I don't know, but I read the information that it's giving me and I can anticipate that that's going to happen, right? I can anticipate probably one of three things will happen. And when I see that one thing that was supposed to break happen and start coiling, then I'm like, oh my God, we're going to go for a buy stop. And they're like, oh, this guy knows where it's going. Like, no.
Crystal ball.
I just see that there's more buyers than sellers.
Yeah. But you know what you're looking for.
Exactly.
Right. And that's the thing. You know, people might be asking, oh, how did you know this was going to happen? How did you know that was going to happen? You don't know that's going to happen. All you know is that you've got your setup forming and that over the long term, you know, 60% of the time it works out in that direction. All right. So that's, you're just looking for what you know you're going to be looking for. If it happens, there you go. You know, you have a 60% chance of it working out. That's what a strategy is. Right. So moving on to the next one here, the third characteristic of a gambling trader is that they do not treat it like a business. So while this might sound similar to not having a strategy, the reason why we've put it as a separate characteristic is because it is a bit of a different thing. All right. A strategy is where you get in, where you get out, and where you put your risk. A business plan or treating something like a business means that you have to have all of your operating or your operations covered, all right, already pre-planned. So what is a business? What's a business plan? Well, it's your risk management. It's your scaling plan. How are you going to scale your account to grow it, right? It's handling volatility. How are you going to be trading the markets when volatility picks up? How about when volatility dies down, right? A business plan is an all-encompassing plan. So if you plan on making a career out of trading and if you plan on pulling out profits from the markets over a sustained period of time, then you're going to have to treat it like a business. All right. Gambling traders do not track anything. And I mean anything. All right. Whereas if you look at any business, how do they operate? Right. Businesses keep receipts. Businesses track their results. Businesses track their sales. Businesses track everything so that they have a means of, I guess, a benchmark, if you will, so that they can compare their performance, identify operational strengths and weaknesses, and then work on those. How are you going to do that if you're not tracking anything? All right. As gambling traders, they don't track anything. There's zero consistency in their approach. All right. One day a gambling trader might try this. Maybe they'll try an opening range breakout strategy. Maybe the next day they'll try, I don't know, maybe a fading strategy. They'll try something else. And when it doesn't work, guess what? Oh, the markets are rigged. No, the markets aren't rigged. You're just not applying any consistency. Really, the only consistent thing that gambling traders are doing is changing their strategies, changing their approaches, right? They don't know their own lane. And so I think this is a big one. It, you know, all of these characteristics really tie into each other. And again, guys, if you're hearing some of these things we're saying and, you know, it kind of hits a nerve because this has been part of your experience, that's all right. All right. The only way we can list things like this is because we've been there. I know I've been there. When I started off, hell yeah, I was treating this like gambling. I mean, I'm not saying that proudly, but it took enough bruises and scrapes to realize that, you know, there's a process to doing this. And until I do that process, I'm a gambler. Right. And it's never a fun conversation to have with yourself, but it's necessary if you're planning on growing and if you're planning on treating this like a business and making money out of it. So that's characteristic number three of the gambling trader. You got anything on that, Vicky? On top
of course. This is like my favorite topic when it comes to like talking to people about their maybe mishaps in trading. They're not seeing results that they want to see.
Because you've got a bit more exposure to coaching.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, whether it's like a lot of it obviously is from coaching, I'd say like 80% of it's from coaching, but also people like reach out to me out of all of our members. And it's a very common occurrence. At the end of people's journeys when they decide to just let go of the dream. Obviously, they'd reach out to me and say, hey, like, this is, it's not working out. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I keep getting stopped out. It's like, okay, well, I need a little more information.
Do you ever hear, it's not going like I expected?
The expectations are always, like, very high. But having said that, are you putting in the effort to meet those expectations? And oftentimes the answer is no, right? Realistically. So the most disappointing thing for me to read or hear is after I have asked someone, okay, so you're constantly getting stopped out, but I need more information, right? So what is your trading plan? What is your strategy? Mm-hmm. Give me a step-by-step set of rules. I want rules. Let me see your trading journal. They're like, oh, I don't have those.
Yeah.
It's like, well, then what did you expect? Like, you shouldn't have expectations if you're not putting in the work.
And I mean,
like, and it's just like so disappointing because like I've spent so much or invested so much time telling people that these are the ways. Like, I'll tell you what you need to do. Like, I have no secrets. Like, I want to see you succeed. But if you're not going to put in the work and literally do those like very simple mundane tasks that don't take that long, they might be kind of annoying, but like, would you rather learn from your mistakes or repeatedly do the same thing over and over and over again and tell me it doesn't work, right?
I think that's a great thing you brought up. And, you know, I think for those of you listening, you know, not for this to be any plug of TradePro, but you should be hearing that we care, right? Because we do care. And as people, this is raw because we happen to have the opportunity, you know, to teach other people how to do this. And, you know, having that opportunity, we are at the forefront of, you know, people coming to us, having struggled, not being able to find consistency. And we do really want to help. But you can see how disappointing and almost of a letdown it is when you really want to help somebody and they're kind of throwing it away because they don't want to put in the time to, you know, to treat it like a business, right? And at the end of the day, I don't know who said this quote, but if you plan to fail, or failing to, I totally mess this up. Failing to plan is planning to fail.
There we go.
We got it back. But I think that's what's super important, right? Because people, like Vicky said, people come in with all of these high expectations. And then when it comes time to, you know, put in the time to write up the business plan. And that's what we're here for, right? We give you guys templates and everything. And all it takes is, you know, just putting in the time to do it. And it's the unfortunate reality that that's the case, but that's the reality it is. And that's the reality why 90% of people, you know, lose money consistently over the course of their trading careers is because there's no strategy, there's no business plan, and, you know, there's no plan, right? You don't have a plan, you're planning to fail. And that takes us really onto the fourth characteristic here, which I'll cover. Vix alluded to this earlier, but we're going to spend a little bit more time on this now. And the fourth characteristic of the gambling trader is that they lack education. There's a lack of education and or knowledge of financial markets and of trading. And again, because of the position that we find ourselves in, we tend to see this a lot, especially from YouTube. All right. We see this, you know, in our comments, etc. I'm going to make money first before taking education. It's too expensive. I can't afford this now. And then you know what happens? It's those same people that say it's too expensive, blow out their accounts, and then they come and tell us that, you know, our memberships are too expensive, right? I can't afford this. It's too expensive. What's more expensive, right? Really think about how that sounds. Do you understand what that sounds like? I'm going to make money first before taking education. That's assuming that you already know what you're doing, right? And so most people would rather... It's not that they would rather, but the reality is that most people, instead of spending, you know, $200 to $500 investing in themselves, they'll take, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 and, you know, try their hand at the markets. And then if they lose that, now it's time for education. So the main characteristic here, the fourth characteristic of the gambling trader, is that there's a lack of education or knowledge, or, you know, said differently, it's a lack of investing in themselves. All right. Let me give you this example. Let's say you want to become a doctor or a lawyer, for example. Would you get any patients or any clients without having put in the educational requirements first? Right? Without having, would you become a good doctor, if you've never done any of the application for a surgery, you just know the theory based on it, would you have success in acquiring clientele that way? No, there's no way. All right. So you have to acquire knowledge and you have to take time to learn to apply anything. Right. And the gambler will say, well, you know, the gambler will say, I've come from a successful background. And as such, you know, that should translate into success in trading. And I think we spoke about this in one of the last episodes that Vic was on with us. But majority of people also see it that maybe if I've had success in one industry, and that's automatically going to translate into success in this industry. And, you know, it's the furthest from the truth. Right? If you're coming in off the cuff and you come into the market, and, you know, a lot of gambling traders will say something along the lines of, we'll just see where this goes. Right? We'll just see where this goes. I want to try this trading thing. My friends are making money. You know, Bob's retired. James is, you know, buying a Lamborghini. Maybe I should give this a shot. Right. And that's where they go wrong, because there's no work on understanding what they're doing, on understanding the processes, right? A lawyer's got to have to do a whole bunch of stuff. I think they have to do articling even before they can get into the courts, right? Kind of similar to a doctor. Before you can even get on into an ER to perform surgeries, you've got to do your residency, all right? So one of the issues here as well at the same time is that trading is one of those industries that is very accessible because of the rise of technology, because of the low barriers to join the industry. You know, people will think, oh man, it's, you know, if somebody can do this, I can do this too. And that's where the difference comes in, right? So you're not going to become, you wouldn't just go into a courthouse as somebody brand new and expect to, you know, to be the prosecutor or expect to be the defense lawyer. So why do you expect the same thing in trading? All right. Characteristic number four, lack of education or knowledge of financial markets or trading, and or lack of investing in personal development. Vicky, I'll let you take number five.
Of course, sir. Just to add to that, the educational aspect of things.
Please.
It's so interesting. Like, people in the industry are like so reluctant to look for that education and pay for it. Like, I get there's a lot of crap out there. Right. I'm not saying that we're the best, but I'm not like saying, oh my God, like join Trade Pro, like this is the best thing you'll ever do.
I can totally understand people's
skepticism,
reluctance,
if you will.
Or skepticism of of the industry. Yeah,
there's a lot of that out there. And like, if you do your research and you find someone you connect with and find a group that you connect with, like what they do on various platforms, talk to them, whatever it is, right? There's a lot of people that do a lot of research before joining us, right? And that's amazing. Good for you. But at the same time, like,
rightfully so.
Yeah. And it's like, like those who just like refuse to look for any education, whether it's us, whether it's this guy, whether it's that girl, whether it's whoever it is, right? Those who just like refuse and simply just like hate that. And they're like, oh, it's another one of these pay to play type things. It's like, all right, well, in all fairness, like not even just us, but other trading educators out there, they're relatively well priced because everyone understands that you're better off putting whatever money you've saved into the market and learning from that than any theory that anyone can teach, right? We can give you the basis. We can give you the theory. We can give you rooms. We can give you trade strategies, everything. But it all depends on how you click the mouse at the end of the day, right? So why pay us everything that you have to invest in this industry than go out and actually learn from the markets, right? So I think the pivotal aspect is having that education, knowing what you're doing before you just jump in there and just like, okay, this is it. Let me just see what happens type thing, right?
Exactly.
And like, yes, I personally, like at the beginning, I was a paying member at Trade Pro Academy, right? Like
me too.
I wanted to, like, I thought it was valuable because I'm learning a valuable skill, right? So those who are a little more reluctant and reserved to do that, I suggest thinking about it really hard, because you're going to be saving a lot of money doing something like that than just jumping into the market head first and seeing what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And just kind of like to Vicky's point, you know, would you rather spend 10 grand to learn how to trade, or would you spend maybe, I don't know, $500, learn how to do it, and then you'll have the other 9,500 to actually apply in the markets and really learn? At the end of the day, no trading educator is going to teach you everything you need to know about the market. We can only give you the concepts, what to look out for, what not to do, you know, some of the filters, qualifiers, disqualifiers, etc., right? But at the end of the day, the market is the real teacher, right? We can tell you things as much as we want, but in our experience, you know, working with other traders, just because you tell them to do something doesn't mean they're going to do it. And mm-hmm. oftentimes you have to get bruised, you have to get scraped, despite, you know, a mentor maybe telling you not to do something, in order for the lesson to sink in, right? So the market is your ultimate teacher, and you got to put in the time and the money to invest in yourself. Give yourself that edge, give yourself that probability, the higher chance of probability for success. Like we said, we've quoted this several times throughout this episode. 90%, probably even greater than that, of retail traders are losing traders. And this is why, because they lack the education, the knowledge, and how to apply that knowledge in the actual market. And going on to the next point here, characteristic number 5 of a gambling trader is that they trade with money that they can't afford to lose because they're in a situation where they have to make it work. All right. And a lot of traders that we see with, you know, this kind of typical gambling mentality, they're trading out of desperation. All right. And they're putting themselves in a situation where they have to make it work. There's no alternative. And oftentimes what we see, you know, through our own experiences, you know, working with a lot of traders, the people that tend to put themselves in this position are the ones that tend to, you know, exit the industry relatively quickly. Because if you're trading out of desperation, if you're using money that you can't lose, basically, if you're losing money that if you lose, that means you can't put food on the table, you can't pay your rent, etc., it's not a position that you want to be in when you're trading, because that's going to bring out the worst of the emotions, right? And that's going to lead to domino effect that, you know, more often than not leads to a blown account. And this characteristic is also something that we see as far as traders that are trying to rush the process. You know, going back to what we said earlier, you know, a lot of people get into the trading industry because they see, you know, YouTube advertisements. They see, you know, the young guy with the Lamborghini on the beachfront. They see this person, you know, showing off that Rolex, you know, in front of their trading monitors, etc. And that's what gets them into the industry. But they think, oh man, I've only got $1,000 to my name. And they want to take that $1,000 and they want to turn it into, you know, maybe several thousand, maybe 20,000 by the end of the week. And they try to rush the process. And that's what gambling is, all right? Gambling is when you're trading with money that you can't afford to lose and you're putting yourself in a state of desperation, right? Because what you resist is what persists, right? So if you're trading from a state of desperation, that's what you're attracting, right? That's what you're attracting into your reality. So if you're in that kind of a position, you're going to be attracting that reality to yourself, and you're just going to be giving yourself, you know, what you're attracting, which is more desperation. So I don't know, Vic, if you got anything to add to that.
It's, yeah, exactly. Like it's the traders that are like, oh, like I have to, like, I need to, like, this has to happen. Well, yeah, like I get that, but like at the same time, like the amount of stress that you're putting on this is acting you to act like irrational and like emotional rather than like break it down, give it like a real chance and like strategy, probability, whatever it is, and like make good use of this rather than being more emotional about it than logical. Yep. Right? Like, yeah, okay, it has to happen. Perfect, right? Let that be your driver. But the way that people go about it is very different, right? Where it has to happen, it's like emotional, like distress rather than any kind of logical probability, right?
Yeah. The has to happen is where we tend to see a lot of forced trades, right? The forced trades where you might not be seeing something, but you've convinced yourself, you know, not even that you've convinced yourself, but you've put yourself in a situation where, you know, maybe you need to make a certain amount by the end of the week. Maybe the markets aren't in giving you the conditions that are required in order to make that kind of return. But because you have to, you're still forcing trades out of the market, trying to get that return, right? And that's what gambling is. It's trying to force the market's hand, because you know what? At the end of the day, the market doesn't owe you anything, all right? And that's the harsh truth. And finally here, we're going to be touching on the sixth characteristic of gambling traders. And that is, they have wild mood swings, all right? This isn't something that you would think as a common characteristic, but it's very common. Gambling traders have wild mood swings. Why? Because they're human at the end of the day. And the mood swings come because of emotions. And anytime we risk our heart-saved, our hard-earned money in the markets, anytime there's money on the line, we're going to react with emotion, right? Especially if you haven't done any psychology, mindset, or performance work. All right. And gambling traders often get ecstatic. You know, they get ecstatic when they win and they feel super down when they lose. All right. These are the people that you see shouting from the rooftops whenever they have a great day. And these are the ones you can't find anywhere when maybe the day didn't go so well. And the thing here is, a lot of what gambling traders will do is they'll basically relate their performance, what happened, and that is what's going to weigh on them for the rest of the day, right? So because gambling traders don't have a plan, don't have a strategy, they're not objective to the process. And as a result, if you're not objective, more likely than not, you're going to be emotional. There's going to be emotions tied to it. And these wild mood swings come as a result of those emotions. It comes as a result of maybe being up on the day and then losing that profit and ending up red, right? It could come out of, man, the market rallied crazy. I didn't catch any trades today. You know, I'm not a good trader, etc. So this is a big one. And I think this is also something that a lot of people don't realize, right? Because when you're trading the markets like a professional, there's not very much emotion, if any, involved. Again, because we're human, we can't eliminate 100% of the emotions. We're not robots yet, at least. But I think this is a good list for you guys to reference as far as the six characteristics of gambling traders. And so we are running kind of short on time. We're about at the 55-minute mark or so here. So let's kind of summarize here what the differences are between the gambling trader and the professional trader. And, you know, it could be really simple as saying, you know, these six lists, the six characteristics of a gambling trader, just the opposite, and that's what a professional trader does. But we always do one more for you guys, so we're going to cover that here. So number one, where a gambling trader wants to be in the market at all times, the professional trader knows when to be in the market and when not to be in the market. And they know that because of experience, because of screen time, and because of lifestyle. All right. A professional trader, there's very few professional traders that I know that sit for the full session, for the full day. Very, very few people that I know.
The only circumstance that would happen is if there's just movement throughout the whole day.
Yeah, like an election night.
Advantage of that.
Election night will probably be there for 24 hours.
That's like the whole, like what you said, literally, like a professional trader knows when to step on it, step in, and when to get out, right? If it's not moving, get out of there. You don't have any business trading more than like an hour if it's not really doing anything.
Exactly.
You might miss a move at the end of the day at the first half an hour, but big deal, right? You're going to be sitting there for like 10 hours not doing anything.
Exactly, right? And so I think that's a big point to be made, because a lot of people won't realize that the longer you stick around, the more mental capital gets drained and the higher the likelihood of you losing focus and making, you know, potentially costly mistakes. And that's the difference between the gambler and the pro. The pro knows when to be in the market, right? The pro has a certain routine, a certain structure around their trading. The markets aren't their lives. All right. The markets are a part of their lives. It's not an addiction to a professional trader, because, you know, they can come in. You know, we trade the U.S. Open primarily here, you know, 9:30 to 11, 11:30. And, you know, these days now, maybe 2 to 3 o'clock, because there's been the afternoon ramp. but we don't stick around too long, right? And that's one of the big characteristic differences between the gambler and the pro, is knowing when to be there, having a routine around it, and making it a part of your lifestyle and not your full life, right? So that's number one. Number two, the gambler does not have a strategy. Obviously, the professional trader is going to have a strategy. And like we said, the professional trader is going to have the strategy because they don't want to be making decisions in the real time when emotions are present, right? 99% of a professional trader's, 99% of a professional trader's thinking happens during the analysis, all right? The analysis part is where you're using really the left side of the brain. When it comes time to executing, you're not thinking. A professional trader is not thinking at that point. It's just a habit to them. It's just a reaction to them because they've ingrained that in their psychology. They have the strategy. They know what they're looking for. As soon as that comes up, they already know their numbers, right? They know their numbers. So they're able to jump on that, execute, pull the trigger, and take the trade. So big, big difference there between the gambling trader and the professional trader is having a strategy. Vic, you want to take the third one here?
Yes, sir. So number three, this is my favorite thing to do, make plans.
I love
making
trade
plans. I love making people make trade plans, just trade plans all around. And that's like, this is how you treat it like a business. Business plan, trade plan, they're interchangeable, right? They're synonymous to each other. So a professional trader knows exactly what they're doing before they do it, right? Whatever it is, what lot size they're trading, how much they're going to risk on this trade, what to do if the trade's not going their way, how to trail, how to enter into a trade, qualify, different strategies. All of that is already in a professional trader's mind, right? There are some slip-ups, but a lot, we're all human, right? A lot of the professional traders do follow their plan pretty extensively. And when you do lose money, it's probably because you weren't following that plan. But remember, we keep that risk managed so it's not a crazy blowout, right? The professional trader spends a lot of time on this plan, perfecting that craft, and a lot of time making sure they're disciplined enough to follow it.
Definitely. And just one thing to add there, you know, the professional trader tracks, not everything, but a professional trader tracks a lot of data. All right. So whereas the gambler doesn't treat it like a business, that's exactly what the professional trader does, right? The professional trader will have a record of their daily trades. They'll know what their, you know, the average win rate is. They'll know what their strategy looks like. They'll know what their probabilities look like. They know all of this, right? They know how much size to put on when the markets are volatile. They know how much size to put on when the volatility dries up. Right, they've got all of this. These aren't real-time decisions that are being made. These are decisions that were made in an objective state so that when you're in real time, emotions don't creep in. All right, and so that's number three. A gambler does not treat this like a business, whereas a professional does. All right, number four, characteristic number four, again, a gambler lacks education and or knowledge of the financial markets and trading. Whereas professional traders, like we alluded to earlier, professional traders are forever students, all right? The longer that you spend in this industry, the more you realize how much you don't know. And that, to professional traders, gives them a spark, right? Because that gives you something to learn. And the more that you learn, the more that you grow, and the more progress you can achieve, right? I don't think I've met a single successful trader, be it a retail trader or somebody that came from a prop or institutional background, that did not have a mentor. If you think about it, all of the prop traders, all junior prop traders at prop firms, they start by shadowing the senior traders. Why do you think that is? All right. Why do you think that is? It's because they need the education, obviously. They build the knowledge and they see from somebody doing it successfully what works, what doesn't, and they pick apart what works and what makes sense to them, and they implement that into their strategies. And they spend money and time on developing this set of skills, right? And whether that's, you know, going to networking events, whether that's, you know, taking additional courses, whatever the case is, you know, they invest in themselves. And I think that, you know, I put number one as wanting to be in the markets at all times, but I feel like this one's huge because investing in yourself is where this whole journey starts. So that's characteristic number four. Characteristic number five, you know, gamblers trade with money they can't afford to lose, and they trade out of desperation. Professional traders, obviously, it's the opposite, right? So professional traders, majority of professional traders will have a source of emergency savings. All right. It's a general rule of thumb. Again, we're not registered financial advisors. This is just for educational purposes only. But a majority of profitable traders use the rule of thumb that if you're speculating, you shouldn't be speculating with more than 10% of your liquid net worth. All right. And the purpose for that is simple. Is because if you lose the money that you're speculating with, that's not going to change your lifestyle. If you lose the money in your trading account, that doesn't mean you're not going to be able to put food on the table. I think I might have put a double negative in there. That means you're not going to put food on the table. Maybe you won't have rent for next month, right? Professional traders are not trading with money they require to survive. And in doing so, that puts them in an objective state. Right? Which situation would you rather be in? Would you want to be in the situation where this next trade is the difference between you having food tonight or you having a blown account? Or would you put yourself in this situation where win or lose, this trade doesn't matter, right? What would that do to your trading? What would that do to your experience? Think about that for a sec. And finally, guys, number six, Vic.
Wild mood swing.
Take it away.
So to wrap this up, a professional trader is like very emotionally calm and stable, right? Like it doesn't hurt them to lose trades. Doesn't hurt them to have down days even. It's not the trading day and the outcome that affects your life, right? Like in general, like what was it? Was it this week or last week? Then you asked me, it's like, hey, how'd you do today? And I was like, I'm down like 800 bucks. You're like, what?
Yeah, I was going to say, like Vic's the type of person, win or lose, you have no idea until you actually ask.
Yeah, like I remember Mark asking me, he's like, oh, you seem kind of fine.
Yeah, I was like, you seem pretty good for losing like, a decent chunk.
It is what it is.
Yeah, 100%.
But like it turned, I thought I was down that much, but I was down a lot less, but I was still down. Like the moral of the story, I was down.
Yeah.
So like a decent amount. And like that's what it comes down to, right? Like, I'm not saying that I'm the best trader in the world or a professional trader for that matter, but being able to control your emotions just alleviates a lot of that like physical and mental stress. And it gives you the ability to just look at the market as a rule-based thing, as something about probability, and not really get attached to any single trade or any single outcome or any single day, right? Like if you're red on the day, you shouldn't be like mopey the rest of it. If you're green on the day, you could be happy and ecstatic, but the two opposite poles really are taxing on the mental health of a person.
Right? Yeah. It's like a polarity, right? As you got super ecstatic on one side and then obviously like not super ecstatic on the other side. And you want to be in the middle, right? Because if you think about it, if you're on one side of the spectrum, right, you're attracting the other side. You got to be back in the middle. You know, life is all about balance, right? So if you're on one side of this pendulum, so to speak, you're going to be attracting the opposite end. It's going to bring you back to neutral, right? And so what I like that Vic said and what I kind of wanted to wrap it up with is that professional traders, they know their strategy and they know that over the long term, they have a positive expectancy and that the results of a single session don't mean anything over the course of, you know, their trading careers, right? Because if you really think about this, guys, if you're going to be trading for the next 30 years, however many years you want, but I'll just use 30 in this example, you're going to be trading for the next 30 years. How important is the result of today? Right? How important over the course of that long term, over those next 30 years is today? All right. I want you guys to take that and kind of run with it, right? Because the professional trader knows their edge. And they trade their edge, win or lose, right? Professional trader will look at the results on the session. If it's a red day, did I follow my process? If yes, good. That's a cost of doing business. We get them back tomorrow. At the end of the day, if it's a green day, exact same questions. Not did I win, did I lose? Did I follow my process? Was it a winner? Great. Was it a loser? Great. It doesn't matter. We get them back tomorrow. And that's really the mindset that you guys should be taking it and really, the last sentence or the last quote that I want you guys to take away from this is this. If you are trading without discipline, you are gambling. If you're trading with discipline, by following your plan, by following your strategies, then you are trading. And that's what we've got for today's episode, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. Again, if you think you know of somebody that might enjoy today's message, please share this on social media. You know, we're in 2020, 99% of people have social media. So we'd really appreciate this if you guys could share this with your network and your friends. And also, if you enjoy listening to these podcasts, we put in a lot of time to put them together, to research them, edit them, etc. So we'd really appreciate if you guys can just pop on over to iTunes, leave us a rating and review. And until next time, everyone, good luck and good trading. Take care.
Take care, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.